coming up.
Today on Watching Your Wealth, how to set financial boundaries, plus how to pass on the family business, and one way to save more for retirement.
Your Money Matters has you covered all week long. Money Beat Monday, Stock Talk Tuesday, Wealth Wednesday, Heard on the Street Thursday, and Financial Free-for-All Friday. Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Ambition comes with earbuds. Now, Watching Your Wealth.
This is Veronica Dagger, and you're listening to Watching Your Wealth, where you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. Coming up, Kevin Harris will tell us how to pass on the family business. But first, we're joined by Carol Ward. Carol Ward is a psychotherapist and author. Carol, you've helped several folks work through their issues with money, and one common one is that we don't always know how to set financial boundaries with ourselves and with others. So first, I want to unpack that a little bit. Quickly, what do you mean by financial boundaries?
Well, financially speaking, we have a very difficult time being conscious about money, why we spend it, why we lend it, how we sometimes give out more money than we need to, and how sometimes we're in denial to ourselves about how much we're spending.
So not knowing what those sort of goalposts of what we should spend or not give away or give away, that's all a good point. Tell us more. Why do we have issues with this, especially when it comes to family and friends? Are we feeling guilty?
Oh, we're feeling so guilty. So guilty about our family or our friends, because one of the main reasons actually is sometimes we're doing better than the people around us, and we feel that that's not allowed.
Or right.
Who are we to do better and be successful? And if I'm so successful, then I'm obligated
to give back.
Yeah. And that sets us up for a really unhealthy dynamic. One, we're cheating ourselves out of the abundance we've created for ourselves. And secondly, and this is, I want to be so direct with this, we don't allow other people to grow up and deal with their money. Right?
Yeah.
If you're always getting it,
then
you can't.
But it's hard if you are seeing someone struggle, though.
Well, here, this is the thing to look at. Has it been a lifetime of struggle? Meaning there's a pattern, right?
Okay.
Or is it a one-time struggle?
Yeah.
You know, we all know people who go into crisis. Sure, we're going to step in. But if that person comes to you again and again with a new plan,
pattern,
a new business, there's something off in the fact that they're not doing well and keep leaning on you for financial help.
Could be relying on you way too much.
Yes.
What about having issues with boundaries with yourself? Say, I can never stick to my budget. What's my issue? Why can't I do that?
I think it's about that unconscious mindset. Well, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I was thinking, what is that? There was a survey done about people and exercise. They always overestimate how much they exercise and underestimate how much they eat. Same.
Guilty as charged.
Me too. But the same goes with finances. I will sit down with someone and say, why don't you track your finances for a month and let's see where your money's going. They come back saying, oh my gosh, I spend so much on cabs or I eat out a lot. But they aren't conscious of it. The only thing that registers is they don't have enough money at the end of the month.
They just don't know where it goes. So, So let's talk about some solutions, if it's possible. First, family and friends. How do you get more boundaries with them when it comes to money?
I always think that if there's been an issue, if someone's been turning to you again and again, you need to have an honest conversation to say, you know, I'm not available to lend you any more money. I know things may be tough for you. I just don't have it. You don't always have to go into the psychological reasons why. Mm-hmm. You can simply say, you know, we're budgeting for other things right now, or I need the money for myself. I think it's important to have those conversations before the crisis call at, you know, 2 a.m. saying, I can't pay my rent.
And they ask, but what, I'm going to play devil's advocate again, because I think this applies to some of our listeners. What if you can afford it, though?
Still not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what I said at the beginning, which is you set up an unhealthy dynamic between you and this other person. And I have seen this so many times psychologically, that when people are told no, and they have to, those are my words, grow up, they often do. They often do, because
they rise to the occasion.
That's right. You're not there to pay their rent or their credit card. They have to do it. And why? Because they may lose their apartment.
So they step up. Okay.
They step up.
What about ourselves? How can we get better about sticking to our own budgets and own financial boundaries?
I think one is the tracking, just simply writing down. It could be, you know, you can do it in your phone. You could do it in a little notebook. Don't keep looking at it. Just track it for a month and then really see what are the categories that you are overspending in. The other thing that I see people do is they spend in order to not be judged, right? They want to make a good impression, so they want to keep up with the people around them who they think are doing better. Be realistic about where you are at this point in your life, and there is no shame in being on a budget. It's actually going to serve you well in the long run.
Right, because, you know, you can see your neighbors spending on the new car, the new house, but you don't know how much they've got saved for retirement. So the point of competing with them is sort of ridiculous.
It's true. And even in a professional setting, people are going out to lunch or they're picking up dinners, right? Or they're thinking, oh, I'll pick this one up, when they don't have the money to do so. And instead, it's time to get a little more realistic and say, you can't go to every lunch that you're asked to. You can't go to every dinner that you're asked to. You have to be realistic about where your finances are. How do you discover that? By tracking.
That's a good point. Tracking makes you aware and conscious. Getting some support from other people can help too. Maybe hang out with other people who are thinking about budgeting. Is that one?
That's true. I mean, one, professional help. You can have a financial advisor look at your budget. Yeah. You can have a therapist. You can have a coach. There are also free 12-step programs out there that can help people with their finances, whether it's under-earning or debting. So you don't have to spend money to learn about money, but you can get support in those areas. And the other thing is to educate yourself. We have so many resources out there online, buying books. And I recommend that if you're struggling with money issues, don't just get a how-to book of how to balance your checkbook. That's important, but it's also good to have a resource that explains the psychological piece as well.
Mm-hmm. So you understand your behavior.
That's right.
Yep.
Because if we all know how to do things, right? We all know how to, or supposed to know how to balance our checkbook or go over our accounts. It's not a matter of not being smart enough, but there may be something emotionally or psychologically blocking you.
That's in your way. I think that's a really great point. Real quickly, one quick takeaway. Give us a reason why we should. We know we should set these boundaries, but like, why do I do it? Why does this help me?
Believe it or not, the more structure we have, the more we'll blossom financially, right? Because if we don't have a structure, we don't know where we're headed financially. We don't know why we're lending, why we're spending. Get the structure in place, track your finances, get support, and you're going to do really well for your financial future.
Excellent tips. Thank you so much, Carol.
My pleasure.
Coming up, Kevin Harris will tell us how to pass on the family business. But first, a quick word.
They're here. All new podcasts from the Wall Street Journal, including...
Hi, this is Christopher John Farley. Welcome to the WSJ Speakeasy Podcast. We're going to have people talking about arts, media, culture, film, TV, radio, record, the web. It's going to create some sparks, start some fires, but also generate some really interesting talk that you'll come away with illuminated about what's going on in arts and culture.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Now, watching your wealth.
Kevin Harris is the head of the family business group at Northern Trust, and he's here to tell us how we might pass on the family business to the next generation. Welcome, Kevin.
Good morning.
Kevin, so some wealthy folks have family businesses, but keeping the business in the family from generation to generation, it's not so easy. Why is that?
You know, statistics would suggest that there's a fairly low success rate in passing on a family business from one generation to the next, and there are several factors that make such a transition very difficult. Now, sometimes there may not be a next generation family member who's ready or able to take on a leadership role in the business.
Mm-hmm.
In other situations, you may have family conflict, for example, conflict between siblings or between different branches or, different generational levels.
That can get really messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really makes the transition very difficult. And, you know, this is an issue especially where you have some of the family members that are working in the business and others who are not.
Mm-hmm.
Other times we see that it comes down to a need for liquidity, for example, to pay estate taxes with inadequate planning, many times the liquidity need will result in the sale of the business. And then